Turn with me to Judges. Our text this morning is Judges 7, 1 to 23. And I asked Tim to read a good portion of that, so we'll finish reading the text. We'll read verses 19 through 23. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets, and they broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon!" And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. And when the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Achaiah toward Zerarah, as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh, and pursued the Midianites. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that you have given it to us, that we may learn of you and learn of your ways. Lord, once again we ask that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, and the will to be doers of your word. I pray that what I say this morning will honor and glorify your name and build up the body of Christ. For we pray in his name. Amen. Well, this morning's lesson is about weakness. And actually about the Lord being glorified in weakness. When we looked at Judges chapter 6, we did it in two parts. The first 24 verses, we saw that the Lord worked through Gideon in order to restore fellowship with his people. God confronted the Israelites with their sin. He did so with an unnamed prophet. We don't know who the prophet was. We know that he served God. Yahweh then turned toward Gideon in grace, and he called Gideon to save Israel. And he promised to be with him. The Lord blessed Gideon with his peace in that passage. And what he did for Gideon, he did for all of Israel. And what God did for Israel, he has done for us in Christ Jesus. God living with his people again. As we came to the second half of chapter 6, since God had come close to Israel again, the reforming of their lives needed to take place. God, through Gideon once more, used him, and he confronted Israel's idolatry. He used Gideon to tear down his father's idol, the son spoke to the father. The son turned out to be the leader that the people needed to follow. The Lord began reforming the people through Gideon's tearing down of that idol and the tearing down of the idols in their lives. All idols crumble and fall before the Spirit of Christ. That was true when the Spirit moved in Gideon, and that's true today as Christ's Spirit moves and clothes us. Jesus has done what we couldn't do for ourselves. He's broken us free from the chains of idolatry. He's broken us free from the shackles of our sin. So as we move into chapter 7, the lesson to be learned is about weakness. The Bible humbles us. One way that it humbles us is it tells us that we are weak. Who likes to hear that? It doesn't tell us that we are weak because sometimes we feel weak. It just tells us that we are weak. Period. That means all the time. We don't have the resources to save ourselves, to help ourselves. We are never independent. In everything that we do, we have to depend entirely upon God. Judges isn't a book about superheroes. In one sense, it is a book about heroes of the faith, but in another sense, it's not a book about heroes of the faith. As if they never had a doubt. As if they never had an issue. Gideon is portrayed before us as weak in some ways. He's afraid. And all Israel was like Gideon. Weak, helpless, frightened, dependent. But the gospel is that the Lord takes pleasure in showing His sufficiency, His strength, through the weakness of His people, through our weakness. We read that in 2 Corinthians. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in what? In weakness. The Lord glorifies His power through the weakness of His people as we come to Judges chapter 7. I want to break it down in three sections. That happens in the Lord reducing Israel's army, the Lord calming Israel's fears, and then the Lord defeating Israel's enemies. The Lord glorifies His power through the weakness of His people. First, let's look at Him doing so by reducing Israel's army. All through chapter 6, the Lord had been preparing Gideon for battle. He gave Gideon His spirit. He clothed Gideon with the spirit. He gathered an army of 32,000 men. God even allowed Gideon to test him with that fleece twice. And here we are, Gideon and his army were gathered at the spring of Herod, just a few miles north of where the Midianite camp was. But the Lord wasn't ready to give Israel the victory yet. In verse 2, the Lord tells Gideon, "You have too many men." Say what? "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into your hands." Now, if we're looking at this from a purely human perspective, how was being badly outnumbered too many men? But the point is, the Lord didn't want His people to boast about their own strength. You know, 4-1, okay, maybe you could still do it on your own. Or think you could. They needed to not be thinking that they had saved themselves. So the Lord wanted Israel to know that the victory came from Him. And God told Gideon to make an announcement. "Anyone who trembled with fear may turn back and leave." I don't know about you, but you got to wonder what was running through Gideon's mind as more than two-thirds of his army packed up and went home. But you know, it was a requirement in the law. If you read Deuteronomy 20, if someone was going to fight in the Lord's holy war, they had to fight in faith. They had to have confidence in the victory in the Lord. Well, Gideon made that announcement and 22,000 men left. So there's just over two-thirds have gone and less than a third left. But God wasn't done thinning the ranks. Because He wasn't looking from a human perspective. From a human perspective, the odds didn't seem good. But from God's perspective, He's saying, "There's still too many men. Gideon was to take the men down to the water to drink. The Lord told them to separate the men into two groups. Do it this way. One group consisted of the men who got down on their knees to drink, and the other group were the ones who scooped up water to lap it out of their hands. Result? We know what the result is. Out of those 10,000 men, 300 lapped the water out of their hands. All the rest drank right out of the spring. And then came the Lord's announcement. And again, for Gideon at that point, it's got to be a little bit crushing. Send those other guys home. You got 300 left. And yet the Lord wants to relay His message of hope. With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give all the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other men go, each to his own place. Now, there has been wondering about what was the point of that whole test by the stream. And different views are considered and propositioned. Sometimes people say that the men who drank from their hands were the better soldiers. Because, you know, what they did allowed them to keep their eyes on the enemy camp. The rest were careless. But if we read the text, the Bible doesn't say that about the man, does it? It doesn't tell us that the 300 men were better soldiers. I don't believe that the point was the quality of the soldier. The point was the quantity. The point represented Israel's weakness. The Lord cut Gideon's army down to size so that they would know that the power and the glory for this victory belonged to God alone. When the Lord sent the men home who were frightened, the rest could possibly still say, "Well, the Lord kept me because I'm brave." Yeah, the odds are a little bit worse, but we're good. We can rally around. But those 300 had to be pretty sober-minded at this point. In fact, possibly they were thinking, maybe the Lord chose me because I drink funny. I mean, the text doesn't tell us either way because they were better soldiers. It's just as probable, and perhaps more probable, is because these guys were the odd guys. Because the point is God's strength and Israel's weakness. And the 300 were a picture of Israel's weakness, not of Israel's strength. But through that weakness, the Lord shows His strength, and that's the point that the Lord drives home in verse 2. And we should meditate on that verse until it sinks into our hearts and our minds. The Lord reduced Israel's forces. Why? Lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, "My own hand has saved me." God wants us to understand where the strength is, where the power is, and where the glory belongs to Him. There are times when we may have a tendency to still God's praise. We want to glorify our own efforts. We want to trust our methods. We want to give credit to our contribution to the effort. And because we think it's up to us, we sometimes suffer from tunnel vision. We base our plans for the future on what we can do, what we can afford, how we can move forward. But the truth of the matter is the Lord doesn't need us. God doesn't need our numbers, our skills, our money, our whatever. Now, don't get me wrong. God does desire to glorify Himself through us, and He calls us to serve Him with all that we are and with all that we have. But He reminds us here in Judges 7 that the power and the praise, the honor and the glory belong to Him. And we come, as been our practice since we started, to meet. We come to the Lord's table weekly. We do so in order to be nourished by what Christ did for us. He wants to make us see our weakness so that we can celebrate His sufficiency, His strength, His salvation. And the Lord does delight in those who put their hope in Him. So the Lord glorifies His power through the weakness of His people. We first see that by Him reducing Israel's army. We also see it by God calming Israel's fears. That very night, it says, the Lord commanded Gideon to take those 300 men and attack. Say what? The odds have just gone from 4-1-ish to 450-1-ish. God said to Gideon, get up, go down against the camp. But He added the promise again, I'm going to give it into your hands. Now perhaps some would expect Gideon to head off to battle right away, just as other judges did. Go take him down. But the Lord knew Gideon's weakness. He knew that Gideon was afraid. Gideon doesn't come across here as a tough soldier just itching for the battle. Gideon doesn't come across as a Hollywood action hero, cool, calm, collected, ready for the battle. Gideon was there, yes, because he believed in his God. But he was trembling. So one more time, God took the initiative to remind Gideon and to remind his people of his strength in the midst of their weakness. And God called Gideon. And we saw He gave Gideon His spirit, and He gathered Gideon's army, and then He whittled it down the size. And now He comes to Gideon again. He comes to his child, if you will, who needed to grow, who needed to mature, and He comforts him. If you're too scared to attack, then go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they're saying. And when you hear what they're saying, you're going to be encouraged and you're going to be able to carry out the attack. Gideon was learning a lesson here, and we need to learn the lesson. God isn't harsh when His people tremble. He doesn't ridicule us because we're afraid. He doesn't make fun of us when we are fragile before Him. The Lord doesn't require us to be superheroes before He can use us. I had Tim read from Hebrews 11. That's about people who trusted God, and sometimes we call them heroes of the faith, and rightly so. And so maybe we think to ourselves, I'm not like that. I'm not sure I'm ever going to be like that in this lifetime. I'm fighting with doubt and fear all the time. I struggle with sin. But that's the part of the point of Judges 7. So were these people in Hebrews 11. The list of people in Hebrews were like Gideon, people of God, whose weakness was turned to strength and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Because they put their wavering faith in the unwavering promises of the Almighty God. God knows how weak we are. God knows how weak our faith can be. And so He goes to work by His Word and by His Spirit to calm our fears. He proclaims His good news to us. That's one of the reasons why we gather weekly, to be encouraged by God's Word. And He gives it to us so that we can have it in our homes, so that we can read it and study it, so that we can pray over it, so that we can teach it to our children, to our families, so that we can meditate on it and live by it. Because He knows that we have a hard time. We struggle with believing His promises. That's why He gives us the sacraments as well. And He lets us taste His salvation weekly in the bread and the wine to encourage us. The Lord offered Gideon comfort, and Gideon took it. He went down to the outskirts of the Midianite army. I said that quickly. Did you catch it? God offers the comfort, but we need to take it and move with it. He said, go down. I'm going to encourage you if you go down. So he did go down. There was Midian, spread out in the valley as thick as locusts. There were 135,000 of them. Israel, 300, plus one guy. The odds were, as I said, 450-1. Besides that, it says that the Midianites had camels that were numbered like the sand. That's a few. Everything shouted that Gideon was right to be terrified. That Gideon had no chance of victory. Everything except for the conversation that God sent Gideon to hear. As Gideon listened, a Midianite soldier told his friend about his dream. Say what? A dream. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling, into the Midianite camp, and it struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. I don't know about you guys, but I do have weird dreams at times. I remember a friend telling me once that he broke down, and in his dream, he was a bass player, and he managed to take his bass out of the trunk and he rode it home. I'm not saying that that God was speaking to him in some way, but I am saying that this is God, and He does speak in this way. And it seems odd. But even if it seems crazy, there was another man in that camp who the Lord gave the meaning of the dream to. And he said to his companion, "This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands." This is God at work. How can you come to that conclusion with a loaf of bread knocking over a tent? Is God moving? And God showing Gideon that this is my doing. The enemy knew Gideon's name. And they knew the name of God's anointed Messiah, Israel's Savior, and they were terrified of it. They knew that God was with Gideon. And if God was with Gideon, then God was against them. God controls dreams and interpretations, and God controlled even the timing of this strange little conversation so that his power plunged the Midianites into terror and freed Gideon and all Israel from their fear and trembling. That same power, brothers and sisters, is our comfort today. The Lord calls us to glorify Him at work. The Lord calls us to glorify Him in the raising of our children. The Lord calls us to glorify Him with our lives. But if we're honest with ourselves, we tremble sometimes. We tremble because we look at the enormity of the task. Because we look at the enemies that surround us and the many avenues of influence. And we realize, when we're honest, that we are weak. God calls us to overcome our sinful habits. But we're so frail sometimes that we can't stand for a moment when temptation comes calling. But when God calls us, when He calls us, because that's what God does, He calls people. When He calls us to follow Him into battle, He also calms our fears. He reveals His power to us. Power over His enemies. Power over our enemies. Power to strike fear into the hearts of the enemy. God reveals His promise. The promise of the gospel. And we hear it in that Midianites' frightened words. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into the hands of this one man, Gideon, whom God raised up to save His people. Guess where I'm going? He gives us the same promise. He is giving all the nations to Jesus Christ as His inheritance. He's putting all of Jesus' enemies under His feet. The Midianites trembled at the name of the anointed Savior back in Judges 7. But God is going to see that at the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus the greater Gideon, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And again, when we come to the table, we are proclaiming Jesus' death till He comes. We are declaring that God has kept His promise and that He's given Jesus' enemies into His hand and that by His death, Jesus has triumphed. As we eat, we do so and God says, I will calm your fears. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. The Lord glorifies His power through the weakness of His people. We talked about Him reducing Israel's army and by Him calming Israel's fears. And then the last thing is by God defeating Israel's enemies. Gideon saw God's power at work when he heard that conversation. And he went back to his 300 men and he proclaimed God's promise to them. Get up. The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. That's our task as well. He's given us the promise to proclaim. Then Gideon revealed his strategy to his troops. And he divided them into three companies. He armed them with Uzis. No. He armed them with a jar that was dark enough to conceal the light of a lantern. And he armed them with a trumpet. And Gideon's strategy was to break those jars and to blow those trumpets. And he told his army to watch him, to follow his lead, to do what he did. So they sneaked up to the camp in the middle of the night. Most of the army was asleep, but apparently there was a change of guard going on. And in that moment, Gideon and his men with him blew their trumpets and smashed their jars so that the light of their torches blazed and the other two companies followed. And they shouted a battle cry, which was also a proclamation about the Lord's salvation as well as the Lord's judgment. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And the Midianites panicked. They heard the trumpets, they saw the torches, and they thought that they were surrounded by thousands of soldiers, all shouting the name of the Lord and the name of Gideon, his servant. And those names struck fear in their hearts. So in terror, they came rushing out of their tents and attacked each other. From a human standpoint, again, some might say that this was a masterpiece of psychological warfare. Yes, indeed. However, the Bible doesn't let us think that it was Gideon's brilliance. It was the Lord who placed the plan in Gideon's mind. And it was the Lord who made the plan work. Verse 22. The Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. God caused Midian to panic so that they attacked each other. Yahweh overthrew their army and fled before 300 men blowing trumpets and shining torches. At that point, Israel didn't even have to strike a blow. They just held their position. They stood firm. Similar to Israel at the Red Sea when the Egyptians came to their end. They stood firm and they witnessed the Lord's salvation. Israel sang in part about that victory in Psalm 83 as they faced new enemies. Psalm 83 lists a number of enemies. Part of that list is Gideon. And they remembered the Lord's power and the Lord's victory. It says, deal with them, that means their enemies at that time of their singing, as with Midian. So pursue them with your tempest and frighten them with your storm. Fill their faces with shame. Why? So that they may seek your name, O Lord. It's not just about the destruction of enemies. It's about bringing God's enemies over to the right side. God's promise is that His people will see the Lord's triumph. The Lord promises to exalt His name and to glorify His power by rescuing us. He has done that in Christ Jesus. We can pray with certainty because the Lord has done more for us than He did through Gideon. In Isaiah 9, Isaiah prophesies the promises. Isaiah said that God is going to give light to His people. God is going to enlarge the nation and make them sing for joy. In verse 4 there we read, for you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. That's Judges 7, people. As in the day of Midian's defeat. God has done that in Jesus Christ. In that same chapter, Isaiah goes on to proclaim, unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government, there will be no end. Jesus' government in this world is going to increase until all oppressors perish. Until all God's people are free. Until Christ alone is King. And that salvation has already begun. God gave a few of his enemies into Gideon's hand in Judges 7. But God has struck the final decisive blow in Jesus Christ, so that we are no longer slaves to sin, so that we are no longer under the dominion of Satan. We celebrate that salvation every Sunday as we gather together to hear the word proclaimed, to sing God's praises, to participate in the Lord's Supper as we eat and drink. We don't have to come to the Lord's table with long, gloomy faces. I don't say that we come joking. We come in seriousness, but we come in the joy of the Lord because He has delivered us. We can come with smiles and songs of praises because God has done it. He has saved us when we were dead, when we were helpless, when we were weak. He has struck the blow that freed us from all our enemies. The Lord's promise is that Christ is going to keep the battle up, is going to keep the chase up until every enemy falls. One day Christ is going to return with the sound of a trumpet. Isn't that interesting? With the blazing light of His glory. And once again, God's people will know from the trumpet and from the light that salvation has come. He's going to shatter the world's sleep, and Jesus is going to give us that full salvation. And even the last enemy, death, is going to fall. So the Lord cut Gideon's army down to size so that Israel couldn't boast. God weakens us so that we don't trust in our own strength, so that we do rely on Him. God strengthens our faith and He calms our fears and He gives us victory. He has given our enemies into the hand of one man, our deliverer, Jesus Christ. We are weak, but He is strong. We are insufficient, but He is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for us because His power is made perfect in our weakness. Christ calls us to follow Him now as He pursues His enemies. He calls us to wield the sword of His word to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to the world so that terrified enemies will run. But so that terrified enemies will switch sides and run to Jesus for salvation. We too are to watch our deliverer, our judge, and imitate His actions. And we too have a battle cry to shout. The sword of the Lord and of His Christ. Amen. Amen.